Sita opened her eyes, red with anger and grief, and facing Ravan cried, "Ignoble monster! You boasted of your fame and your great origin and your warlike qualities. But have you behaved like a brave warrior? Are you not ashamed of yourself? What sort of warrior is he who waits for the husband's absence to steal his wife and carries off a lonely, helpless woman when no one is nearer to prevent it? What heroic deed is it to kill the old vulture that tried to save me? How brave was your talk in the ashram. The world will no doubt remember and praise this great hero who dares not fight but is prepared to steal. If indeed you come of a noble family, what a shame you have brought upon it. And what do you hope for by thus carrying me off? How long do you hope to live? Very soon Ram's arrows will seek you out and end your life. No, the moment Ram sets eyes on you, you are dead. Do not hope to escape. Your death is certain at his hands. What then do you gain by this cheating? I will never be yours. I shall die before I yield to you, and you cannot escape my lord, having incurred his wrath. Very soon you will see hell. The red-hot form is awaiting you there for your embrace. So is the tree with iron spikes. Ram, within an hour, killed your army of 14,000 Rakshasas in Janastan. Do you think he will let you escape? Soon he will send you to your death. While Sita was speaking words of contempt and warning, Ravan, chariotless, sped like an arrow across the sky towards Lanka. They went over many mountains and rivers, and Sita saw some people below standing on a hilltop. She took off her sash and, tying up her jewels in it, threw the bundle down. She did this, hoping that the ornaments thus dropped might be seen by Ram and give him a clue to the direction in which she was carried away. Crossing Lake Pampa and then the sea, Ravan entered the city of Lanka. He went to his apartments with the grief-stricken Sita. The fool thought that he had secured his prize, but he was taking home his own death in a woman's form. Then, summoning some demon women, he ordered them to keep watch over Sita, commanding them to let no one approach her without his permission.
"Give her whatever she wants, clothes or gold or jewels, anything. Serve her and do her honor, as you would serve and honor me. And anyone who utters a word which might offend her will be punished with death. No one, knowingly or unknowingly, should cause her anger or grief."
Having thus installed Sita in the inner apartment, he considered what should be done next. He sent for some clever spies and gave them this mandate.
"Go at once to Janastan, where Kar lived. Watch carefully and bring me word as to what Ram is doing. So long as that Ram is alive, I cannot sleep. He is my greatest foe. Somehow he should be killed. Go boldly now and do your job, then return."
Imprisoned within a fortress, on an island, Sita did not know where or how far she was from Ram. She expected that her lord would somehow arrive, kill Ravan, and redeem her. Though full of grief, thinking of the strength and prowess of her lord, she was bold and steady in mind. It was also some consolation that the Rakshasa king did not behave like a beast with her. Having dispatched his men to Janistan, Ravan returned to Sita's presence. He saw her overwhelmed by grief and shedding tears. The demon women were watching her with care. He thought that if she saw his wealth and power, she would yield to him. She was therefore taken round in the great palace and shown the wealth and grandeur displayed there. No king on earth had ever possessed such wealth and means of enjoyment. Sita was shown gold and jewels and silk in plenty, curiously wrought platforms, vehicles and towers, thousands of maidservants, and every symbol of wealth and royal power. But her thoughts were elsewhere. Ravan tried to convince her also of the vastness of his army. But then she had already formed her opinion of his prowess and had described it to him in scathing terms. Yet Ravan argued,
"All this you can count and enjoy as your own. You shall be my queen, dearer to me than life itself. I have many wives, but you, you shall be mistress of them all. Hereafter, my love shall be for you and you alone. Listen to me. Do my bidding. For hundreds of miles, the sea surrounds this island, which is guarded by thousands of mighty soldiers. So no one can enter this city. No one among the gods or demons can match me in might, and they know it. What pleasure or honor is it for you to stick to a poor human creature, banished from his kingdom, a destitute, wandering in the forest? To match your beauty, you need my wealth. Do not waste the years of your youth. You are never again going to set eyes on Ram. Be certain of that. Ram cannot approach this city. Treat this whole kingdom as yours. Treat me and all the obedient gods as your slaves. Till now, because of your sins in some previous birth, you have suffered hardship. Hereafter, you will enjoy with me the fruits of your former merits. You will be the queen of Lanka and the wife of the lord of Lanka. Let us take our pleasure floating about the world in my aerial chariot, Pushpaka. Let the cloud of sorrow disappear from your face, and let the moon of joy appear." As Ravan went on speaking, tears flowed from Sita's eyes. She covered her face with the end of her sari, as she did not want her enemies to think that she was afraid. Ravan begged and urged her, "Do not be shy. There is nothing wrong in accepting me, nothing to be ashamed of. It is laid down that one should accept the gifts of God. Oh, beautiful one, I bow my head at your feet and beg for your grace. I am your slave. Forgetting my greatness and power, I beg for your favor. Never in my life have I bowed in this way before anyone."
He really thought he could persuade her and gain her affection. In spite of her grief, therefore, Sita spoke boldly to the Rakshasa. She placed a little bit of grass between Ravan and herself before answering him. Boastful words were uttered by Ravan in monk's garb, sitting in front of the fruit served by her in Panchavati. Imprisoned Sita now spoke, as if in echo of those words, "Know who I am. Dasarath was famed in all the three worlds. He reigned long and stood as a bulwark of duty and defender of truth. His son Ram, of godlike presence and lion-like valor, is my husband. He and his brother Lakshman will surely take your life. You know how Kar and his army were destroyed in Janistan by my lord? As easily as an eagle carries a venomous serpent, he destroyed your huge army in Janistan. Because you have secured a boon that no god or demon can kill you, you have dared to make Ram your enemy. You think your boon will save you, but I tell you, you cannot escape. You will surely meet your death at his hands. You are like the goat tied to the altar post for sacrifice, doomed to death. The moment Ram sets his angry eyes on you, you will meet your fate. My lord will dry up the sea or bring down the moon, if necessary, to kill you and redeem me. It is certain. Your evil deed will bring destruction on yourself and your kingdom. My noble lord lived unafraid in the midst of the demons in the forests. Like a hero, he fought and killed the Rakshasas who encountered him. But like a thief, you kidnapped me in his absence. But you cannot escape. Your fate impelled you to this sin because the hour of your ruin and the destruction of your race are near. You ask me to accept you. How foolish! Can the crow approach a swan? Can a heinous sinner be allowed near the sacrificial fire? I do not value life or body. Do you imagine I would wish to live despised by the world? Do not dream that out of fear or of saving my life, I shall yield to you. Having spoken those words, she was silent.
Is that so? Very well, then. I shall give you 12 months' time. If you agree to accept me, well and good. But if at the end of that period you refuse, my cooks will make meat of your body for my breakfast.
After warning Sita thus, he gave orders to the attendant Rakshasas.
You should break her pride and obstinacy by some means or other. Put her alone in the Ashok garden and skillfully use fear and temptation to bring her to her senses. As we tame a wild she-elephant, you should train her to submission.
And angrily he went to his palace. The demon women took Sita to the Ashok garden. It was a beautiful park attached to the women's apartments. The trees were full of flowers and fruits, and beautiful birds played among them. Here, surrounded and guarded by terribly ugly Rakshasis, Sita was kept prisoner. Though overwhelmed by grief, she had the faith that Ram and Lakshman would somehow discover where she was and rescue her, and that her lord would destroy Ravan and take her back to a happy life with him. Sustained by this faith, she was neither frightened by threats nor deceived by temptations. Not for one day or two, but for months, Sita suffered as guarded prisoner in the Ashok Garden.